DJMCloud.com podcast. Number 14. For October 17, 2011. Hey, you're listening to the DJM Cloud podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown. This podcast, we're going to talk about baseball playoffs, iPhone 4S, OS X Lion, Jose Reyes, iOS 5, and more. Well, in college football, Michigan State came up with a big win against Michigan. Michigan State has now beaten Michigan 4 years in a row. Mark D'Antonio has really made a mark as a football head coach. And I think that he's going to be remembered as one of the historic coaches in East Lansing. Brady Hoke has Michigan up, I think. And better than they have been for a few years, but Michigan State, especially their defense, is very good this year. And that was a really awesome game because MSU was just relentless. It was a really, really intense Spartan defensive attack in front of the home crowd, and I saw it on TV, but I thought it seemed like there was a great atmosphere out there in Spartan Stadium, and I think that it just shows that where things have actually changed in the state of Michigan. And you have to look at Michigan State first, and you talk about football too, as well as basketball now. I think the college game day show is actually going to go to East Lansing next week for the Michigan State versus Wisconsin game. And it was in Eugene, Oregon last weekend. In the lead up to game day being held in Eugene, Oregon, at the University of Oregon, the radio host Dan Patrick was talking about an attempt to occupy game day by putting signs in the background in the crowd of the game day show, which is like a live sports panel show that they do out live on campuses. Put signs in the background that alluded to the Dan Patrick show, his radio broadcast. But that I think actually shows that how far the Occupy Wall Street movement and its other evolutions and its and the other types of movements that have forked out from that, I think they've certainly achieved a great deal of mainstream currency. There's certainly big crowds in places like Lower New York and a lot of other areas. And so, you know, you're hearing about everything from Occupy Wall Street to Occupy Tucson. And then you're hearing it, you know, brought to other kinds of extremes in terms of whether it's really relevant to the idea of the protests, stuff like Occupy Game Day. But in terms of the protests, like the Occupy Wall Street and stuff like that, I haven't really seen every video and read every article about it. I'm not really sure what's going on, but I do think that it certainly shows a great deal of dissatisfaction and disaffection with the economic conditions. Most people in this country feel like they're not getting a fair opportunity. Most people in the U.S. is by that, I mean. And I think that the economic disenchantment is very real. And as an MBA, I've seen economic conditions in this country deteriorate for the last handful of years, and certainly thought that dramatic changes to policy have been needed. Certainly, the Bush administration was a disaster, and they helped create the situation that required the 2008 crash and bailout, that required the 2008 bailouts during the financial crash of that year. And I think Barack Obama going along with the people complaining about deficits instead of the people complaining about lack of jobs made a defining mistake in his presidency by doing that. And actually, I've been writing about economic issues on my blog at different times. So if you look at the show notes at djmcloud.com and look for the show notes for podcast 14, you can see I'll have a link for my for a roundup of my economic writings, and you can see what if you want to read, you can see if I if you think I really have anything worthwhile to say or not. Now I also but I also think that the changes the protests I think without going into too much detail about the stuff that I write about, I think that the financial crash was somewhat predictable in the way that the housing market shaped up, and there was a lot of, I think, delusion about house prices and people's behavior about buying real estate and their expectations about gains in the value of the property. And then a much bigger problem, though more complex, is the banks and their creation of shady securities like structured investment vehicles, and there are a lot of names for them that helped crash the economy. But I think that, you know, a lot of that's well documented now. And I think that it is true that there hasn't been enough investigation into the people that created this situation. And among the most egregious offenders of the last few decades was Bernard Madoff. Now, of course, everybody knows that, well, maybe not everyone, that Bernard Madoff knew the Wilpons, and the Wilpons were invested with Madoff. They're being sued over that situation, and there's a lot of questions around that. But the Mets owners, the Wilpon family, certainly were involved with investing with Madoff, and the best player on the Mets now is probably going to leave. Well, he may not leave. He's a free agent, and there could be optimism about him re-signing. Jose Reyes is the shortstop for the Mets, and he just won the 2011 National League batting title, the first Met to win the batting title with .337 batting average. Beating Ryan Braun and a lot of other excellent players, Matt Kemp, a lot of other good hitters in the National League. And so it would be really cool if the Mets were able to re-sign him. It is a good market for him, and I think, you know, Mets fans certainly want that. The question is, you know, will the struggling, you know, franchise be able to, you know, maintain, you know, will they be able to re-sign, you know, such an excellent player, and will they give him, you know, will they offer him a contract that, you know, that pays him what he's worth in the market. I have been recording the podcast on my iMac, and I do use the iMac to record some of the podcasts, but now it has OS X Lion on it. Now, I just put OS X Lion on it a few days ago, and I found it to be an overall, a solid improvement. I did read some reviews of Lion and So I went into some depth about what the changes were. I guess I was aware of a lot of the changes, at least in the abstract. But now using it, I'm learning some different habits, and I'm overall, I have to say that I like the Launchpad tool, which is an application launcher has a similar kind of feel to the home screen on iOS. You can move app icons around, and you can put them in folders, and then you can launch apps by doing that. I actually think it's a useful way to organize apps, but I'm still experimenting with it nearly. I think that some of the visual improvements are good. I guess the changes that I've seen go with a lot of the trends that have gone on with like a lot of grayscale, and they of course have that kind of pattern that they use in the background, for example, in the login screen that's taken from iOS. There are some more, similarities to the mobile operating system that Apple has. I think it's good. It seems to run most of my apps pretty well so far. So I still testing it and still using it, but for my mission critical apps, I've found everything to be able to keep running after the upgrade from Snow Leopard. Now I've just gotten iOS 5. I actually upgraded my iPhone 4 to iOS 5 the day it came out. And so I've been using it for a few days, and I think iOS 5 is pretty cool, and it does have a few small tweaks like notifications, and it has a deeper it has a deep integration with Twitter, and it has a lot of changes that I've read about, and I guess it depends on what your needs are and what device you're using. iPad users will get a split keyboard. There's some features like that are interesting. For iPhone users, the notifications are a cool thing, and the iMessage utility is very useful. You can use it as a text messaging alternative for if you're sending from iPhone to iPhone or some other devices like iOS devices to other iOS devices. It also had now the phone I'm using now actually has well it has Siri also, which is the digital assistant, which you can use by talking to it, by holding the home button down and talking to it. To clarify, I got an iPhone 4S and that so I just got that in the last few days. So I transferred my data over from my iPhone 4, which had worked well for a few days with iOS 5, but I had the new iPhone 4S a few days after upgrading the OS. So I moved over to that one, and now I've been using the iPhone 4S, which I find to be a very cool device. Early testing by myself and also my brother, because my brother got a new iPhone 4S. He took a handful of videos, so I saw them on my iMac when he downloaded them. They were very cool. Well, the podcast can be recorded at times in different parts. And now, for this second half of the podcast, it's October 18th, 2011, here on the djmcloud.com podcast. sinking is one of those things that a lot of people have had a lot of issues with, the way that it's implemented. Traditionally, with the iPhone, and now that iOS 5 is here, there are more options for syncing. So you can still plug your phone into a computer and sync your music, podcasts, contacts, and other things with the computer, and download photos with programs like iPhoto or Aperture, and so the using the USB cable to plug the iPhone into a Mac will still work. Now iOS 5 offers some new options. One of them, and I think these are mainly in conjunction with OS 10 Lion, although some of the features might work with Snow Leopard. You can now wirelessly sync. You can do you can sync your phone with iTunes over Wi-Fi, and you can also sync your content over iCloud. So there's new options that come with that. But the feature I really like, because I may move over to the Wi-Fi and then possibly the iCloud syncing, but right now I like being able to sync in the background. There's the ability to plug your phone into the computer but continue to use the phone, and the syncing happens in the background. Well, I'm joined by Jessica, and it's good to have you on. Jessica, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so I've been talking about iOS and OS X Lion, and I probably covered everything off the top of my head except Lion's new concepts for memory usage and program design. But I think it's been a lot of changes in these. And what stands out to you when you think about iOS 5, which you're now using on your iPhone 4 or OS 10 Lion?
Yeah, I've used it for a couple of days now, and I really like the iMessage. I think that's pretty cool because a lot of my friends and family have iPhones. So I can, I guess, message for free and not have to get the unlimited texting plan anymore. And then I also like the home screen that shows all the messages. What's the name for that?
The notification center, and then the lock screen, looking the way it does with the ability to have multiple messages and updates. That's a cool feature.
Yeah, I like that a lot because I get a lot of texts and messages, and they flash, and then sometimes they go away, and you're not thinking about it. But if you just pick up your phone and you see all the notifications, you're like, oh, I got to check in on something. So I do like it. I think maybe I'll get back to people in a more timely manner and see their messages.
All right. Well, it should make it some easier to process. So I had two iOS apps that I wanted to mention on this show. We'll talk about those right when we get back from this break. Thank you. Siri, tweet Jessica.
Daniel.
Tweet Jessica and I are recording a podcast.
I can't send tweets for you. Sorry about that.
Well, I guess I'll have to do it manually for now. So, Jessica, hey, you've seen the flashlight app that I like. What do you think about that one?
I think simplicity is key, and it has an on and off switch. It turns on the light and turns it off. That's really what you want it to do. And the flashlight is great. We use it quite a bit to find things. We've used it on walks. It's pretty powerful. So I think it was a really smart idea, and it speaks a lot to user interface and thinking about how people want to interact with things. And I think Apple's done a really interesting job of bringing old-fashioned items, if you will, into the digital space and sort of creating this physical world in the digital world.
Yeah, and providing a platform for people to make apps like that. And the one that I've been using is one that I think is pretty high-selling, so you could probably find it easily at the App Store, but it's called i4 Software. Is the a company that makes it, and it's the app is called Flashlight. So I think that it's a good tool for just find your way around the house late, or if you're camping, because people tend to have their phone with them, so it's good to have a basic tool like that. It uses the LED light in the iPhone 4 and 4S. I also want to talk about the Lens Flare app. That's a cool app that has the ability to put fake lens flares on photos. Now, I only mean fake in the sense that a lens flare, I guess, like a real lens flare, would be an effect that occurs in photography that's based on light effects that are specific to the angle, often of the sun or of a powerful light, and the particular lens, and that's it's just an effect, and I'm sure a lot of people could describe it more coherently than that, but I think that it is a cool thing to have on your photos. I think photo editing software like GNU image manipulation program. I know because I used that before. I have had lens flare effects on it. I read that Photoshop has a lens flare effect too. I don't think I've used that. I don't think I've used that effect in Photoshop. But I do like the interface with the iPhone, where you can add a lens flare effect by using the multi-touch interface. And there's a series of different effects you can choose from, and then you can position them at different points in the photo. So I don't know. What do you think of some of the effects?
I think they're really cool. And I like how more and more photo apps are really focusing on cool things to add after you take the photo and make it really easy to add them and play around with it and share them. So I give kudos, and I want to see more fun things because we like to take a lot of photos and pictures. Are you liking the camera more on your new phone?
I think the iPhone 4S does have a very nice camera. I haven't, I guess, used it enough to really have an informed opinion, but it does seem really nice, and I'm looking forward to seeing new photo apps that take advantage first of the updated camera in the iPhone 4S, and also in the updated software in iOS 5, where they give access to Core Image, which is a library that has been available on Mac OS X for a while, and allows enhancements, filters, effects, and other things on pictures. So I think we might see a new rush of really cool camera replacement apps, and also image effects apps Yeah, so for now, I just have that one, that lens flare, which is sort of, you know, something you can kind of put on top of, like, any kind of cool image. But I am optimistic that there's going to be a new crop of cool photo apps that'll go with the capabilities of iOS 5 and the iPhone 4S. So I do think that lens flares are one of those things that people have different opinions about. And I noticed that one of the developers of the Camera Plus app posted a comparison of iPhone 4 and iPhone 4S photos that showed that the red oval lens flare effects were a lot less in the iPhone 4S shots than the iPhone 4 shots, and it showed the I think some of the improvement in the lens. But what was funny was that in the comments, a lot of people were talking about how they liked the old effects, and they liked the red ovals and stuff like that, and people somebody said, I kind of dig the red dots. So I don't know, I think it shows while of course that's the some people are going to enjoy lens flare effects, and as cameras get better, you can get an app like this one that can artificially put lens flares on your effects afterwards, and so this one it's pretty cool. It's just called Lens Flare, so you can find that if you want to try that out. I like using it, and I feel like I talk about a lot of the really cool apps that I like photo apps for iOS on this podcast. You know, I don't know, like, I kind of thought maybe I shouldn't tell the audience about that, but I guess I'm just going all out, and I'm telling them all these apps I'm using. Well, like I said, maybe there'll be some new cool ones. So, are you looking forward to the World Series, Jessica?
I am looking forward to the World Series because it's always a fun time in baseball, you know? I'm not as excited about the teams that are left, but I like a championship game. You see some of the best baseball around. Energy, the fans. It should be some good baseball.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people are having a hard time figuring out who to root for in the series. Who do you want to win, the Cardinals or the Rangers?
It's really tough, but I'm gonna go with the Cardinals.
You know what? I am too, and I think it's strange, but yeah, I there's no way I can root for the Rangers. What did you think of the Brewers, like, when they, you know, they were in the NLCS, and I think they had really high expectations. I don't really know why, because they've, you know, that doesn't really go with the history of the franchise, but it seemed like they'd stoked some really high expectations in Milwaukee, doesn't it? What did you think about that against the Cardinals, like, how the Brewers pitchers, you know, just kind of broke down, just like the, you know, just like in the other series. You really have to think, like, with the Rangers hitting, you know, and scoring as much as they did, you gotta blame, you know, a pitching breakdown on the side of the Tigers, and I think that's at least is true for the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not a fan of the Brewers. I did not have a great experience when I went to their ballpark. Their fans, I thought, were quite rude. So I think, ha ha, you know, you thought you were all that, but you're really not. And I'm kind of glad that they're not in it because I'm not a fan of them. And the Cardinals are at least birds, and I like birds. And I have crazy logic for what teams I pick, but I think a lot of sports fandom is a little crazy.
Well, I think that a lot of people think of St. Louis fans as being crazy, but I will just say I think I'm gonna go with the National League there, and that's how I'm gonna approach it. I think I do like the Cardinals better, so. I'll just go with that. Although I guess it's just going to be an offensively oriented series. It's a lot of times teams make their way through the playoffs, even into the playoffs, but then through the playoffs with really excellent pitching. You look at like the San Francisco Giants last year, and they had Tim Lincecum and other good pitchers, and that's how they did it. They got just enough offense to get by at key points last year, and then they didn't this year along with injuries. But you know that was the difference. But the real key was the pitching, and historically for a lot of teams that's been true. And this is just an offensively oriented couple of teams, I think.
Yeah, I don't know much about either side of the pitching, but I remember seeing a couple scores back up in the 12s. You know, and you rarely used to see that in baseball. A lot of times the scores would be, you know, 1-0, 3-1.
This season there's been a lot of low-scoring games. It's a very pitcher-dominated era. I just think that what happened was a lot of these great pitchers were on teams that did not advance as far as the ALCS or NLCS. And by then, and let alone now in the World Series, hitting and taking over just – based on the matchups, I think more. Now you have a series where the best player is definitely Albert Pujols, and I don't think there's any real question of whether it's a pitcher on either side or any other player. That you know, I mean, if you know he hits well, and then the Cardinals have a few guys that manage to get on good streaks. I think I could see them. Really surprising the Rangers. I think people were talking the Rangers up quite a bit last year too, and the Rangers are a good team. But I'm saying there's a chance that while maybe I think the Rangers may be favored, I think I could see the Cardinals kind of hitting their way into winning some high scoring games and taking this series. But I don't know. Do you have a prediction?
I say the Cardinals win it in Game 6.
Game 6. Okay. Cool. Well, I am going to say thank you, Jessica, for joining the latter part of the podcast. You really... picked up our game here considerably, so it's been good to have you on to bring us up to the higher level that we get to when you're on it. It's good. I always, because you know, I always think the best ones are the ones that you have you on.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I always like to be a part of these.
All right, well, you can find Jessica on Twitter at Jessica McKeown, or you could check her website out at jessica.sf3am.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Pacific Pelican or online at djmcloud.com. So this is episode number 14. And... Siri, can you tell GarageBand?
Sorry, I don't understand. Siri, can you?
turn off GarageBand on the iMac?
Sorry, I don't understand. Turn out GarageBand on the iMac.